I hope that over the next couple of years, we won't have 50% of the farmers telling us about the story of the someone they know has been injured or killed, but actually starting to talk in a positive way about safety and having positive conversations at events.
The farming sector in Australia, and similarly in Victoria, accounts for 3% of the working population, yet more than 20% of the workplace deaths and serious injuries. Alarmingly, 15% of those killed on farms are children under the age of 15. Hello, I'm your host, Tegan Buckley, and you are listening to Hort Thoughts, a podcast by the Victorian Farmers Federation Horticulture Group. In this episode, I'm joined by John Darcy, VFF Senior Farm Safety Advisor. John has more than 30 years of experience in health, safety and workers' compensation, including involvement in the drafting of Victoria's OHS and Workers' Compensation Acts, regulations and codes. John has also assisted employers following a number of serious workplace accidents over the years.
They believe it in their hearts and in their minds, but unfortunately often when things go wrong, they've got nothing to actually show for that. And this is the importance of the work we do to help them to understand what legal compliance looks like and also to give them the necessary resources and guidance and advice and simplify it for them so they can actually take practical steps knowing that they're time poor and have a farm to run to make it as easy as possible for them to actually improve safety on their farms.
The Victorian Farmers Federation has been funded by the Victorian Government to deliver the Making Our Farms Safer project as part of the government's Smarter, Safer Farms project. The Making Our Farms Safer project commenced in October 2020 and is funded through until July 2023. The services that are available through this project are all accessible to Victorian farmers free of charge. In this episode, John's going to take us through a little bit more information on how to get involved in this program, as well as how to stay safer on our farms. G'day, John. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Well, thank you for having me.
So let's talk about the Making Our Farms Safer project. Can you give us a rundown on what this project is all about?
We deliver farm safety visits, which are accessible to all Victorian farmers. We attend all the Victorian farm field days that are on throughout the course of the year. We conduct a number of town hall meetings across Victoria throughout the calendar of the year. And during 2021, obviously, a number of those were affected by lockdown, so we couldn't go ahead, but we still delivered about six or seven of those throughout the year.
That's a great effort.
Yep. We also produce a monthly farm safety newsletter, which we've produced 11 editions of since October last year. And that's getting very good readership throughout the industry. One of the things we communicate at our town hall meetings and through the newsletter to farmers is if they can really share that also with their neighbours and spread the word. And we're seeing the readership is growing and it's getting very good open rates. And we're also getting very good feedback from farmers because they're reciting the articles back to us when we meet them at our events, so they're getting recollection. And that's a really important part of the project, is about the importance of constant communication with farmers and telling them stuff that they need to know to help them make their farm safer.
Yeah, fantastic. So what does your typical visit by a Making Our Farm Safer advisor to a farm look like?
So my colleague Richard and I, over the course of 13 months, have visited more than 150 farms all over Victoria. We've covered about 75,000 kilometres between us. And most of our time is spent at the dining table with mum and dad, small business farmers. And we're talking them through for about 2 hours at the dining table, talking about their legal responsibilities. And for many farmers, they're never going to go off and do 6-day, 7-day OHS training courses or Cert 3s or Cert 4s in OHS.
That's a lot of time off the farm.
Yeah, that's beyond the realms of possibility. And so we know that the time that we and the information we provide for many small businesses will probably be as much knowledge or information as they ever get. And it's really important, but we also keep it practical. We keep it realistic and guide them through and even give them an action plan to work to. And what we also do, though, is we provide them with all their policy procedure templates, their checklists, an action plan to work to, and give them a roadmap of what to do over time. This is one of the challenges for small business, is I don't doubt for a second that the vast majority of employers do honestly and sincerely believe that they do provide a safe workplace, even before we get there and before we start looking through the sheds to see things. But they believe it in their hearts and in their minds. But unfortunately, often when things go wrong, they've got nothing to actually show for that. And this is the importance of the work we do to help them to understand what legal compliance looks like, and also to give them the necessary resources and guidance and advice, and simplify it for them so they can actually take practical steps, knowing that they're time poor and have a farm to run, to make it as easy as possible for them to actually improve safety on their farms. And after we've finished at the dining table, we then get up and do the walk through the sheds. And farmers become accustomed, obviously, to their workplace, the hazards that are there. They become oblivious to them. And we're going there with a fresh set of eyes. And we're looking at the workplace with a mindset of, if a WorkSafe inspector did come out, what would they intervene in and issue notices for? We're also talking about a lot of the things that WorkSafe inspectors wouldn't necessarily look at, like first aid kits and fire extinguishers. We are there passionate about what we do, trying to look at the workplace and tell farmers, again, stuff they don't know or become oblivious to.
I guess on that topic, what are the biggest causes of, you know, serious injuries and death that the industry might need to overcome that you can sort of shed a light on a little bit more?
So perennially for the last decade, and sadly, farming has been the top of the tree in terms of those.
Unfortunately.
For year after year. And the biggest causes have been perennially the same. Tractors and quad bikes, number one and two, for the best part of the decade. But in recent years, we've seen side-by-side vehicles creep into number two. Now, with quad bikes, they've been extremely topical. And number of workers killed by crashing quad bikes, but also not just the quad bikes crashing, but also steep terrain, hills, even flat surfaces, the bikes then rolling over and being crushed or asphyxiated by the weight of the bikes. And we've been pressing the importance of the operator protective devices, which has been a perennial issue for a long, long time. I'm pleased to say that we think we've got farmers in the right headspace now, where they now appreciate not just the imperative of having them on the bikes, but also the legal consequences for themselves if they don't have these things. But whilst we've been pushing that message, we're seeing side-by-side vehicles, which have been really the substitute for the quad bikes and taken to be a safer mode of transport. The reason why people are being injured on the side-by-side vehicles is because they're not wearing seat belts. And in bypassing the seat belts, they're then bypassing a secondary safety device, which is a speed limiter, which is linked to the seat belt to the motor, which reduces the speed. Now, so when a farmer, though, does that themselves, and this is reflected in WorkSafe Victoria's media campaign, the Never You Till It Is campaign, they actually feature a scenario of a farmer clipping the seatbelt in beside himself or behind himself. And that doesn't set a good example, not just for themselves, obviously, but for their employees and younger workers on the farm. And frequently when Richard and I go out, we see the seatbelts already clipped in. And then tractors are the third biggest cause, and that's been, again, perennial, I use that word.
Yeah.
And when I use that word, this goes to a cultural problem in the industry, one of them. And that is that many farmers will tell us about the fact that they know somebody's been injured or killed on their, you know, a neighbour or serious injured themselves. And many of them tell us about the fact that they've rolled their own quad bikes. But we have the problem that they almost see these things as normalised, that they accept that they're going to get hurt. And we've got to change the culture. We've got to tell them all it's not acceptable that we keep on having these accidents and injuries and deaths from people falling off tractors or falling under attachments because they've got them in crawl mode and then getting run over by their own machinery. No, we have to actually tell them what they need to hear, and that is, no, you can't do that. You shouldn't do that. That's not a safe way of doing things. You will get hurt. And that's what we're doing.
Yes, it certainly can be a challenge. What do you think is one of the key challenges in your within the safety culture and influencing that throughout the industry?
That's a big part of the funding and the expectation from the Department of Ag and WorkSafe too. With this project, that we will try and do as much as we can humanly possibly do to improve safety outcomes, but also to influence the culture and the mindset of the industry. And we're knocking down some of the barriers, some of the cliches that farmers throw out. So, for example, some farmers who might have been resistant to OHS say, "Well, if we did it, you know, if we did everything we had to do to manage safety, we'd never get anything done." Or farmers don't like being told what to do. Well, on both of those scores, we would talk to that detail and say, to them, well, no, it isn't hard to manage safety. It's if you have a roadmap and you have the right knowledge and the right practical advice and something you can work towards steadily, well, you can manage your farm and improve safety as well. And on not, you know, not liking being told what to do, well, I suggest that's probably a minority of farmers who would hold that view. The vast majority actually do want to know what they have to do and do want to be guided and do want to be helped. And so we've heard these things over many, many years. We understand the barriers, but now we're talking to the detail to knock those barriers down and help guide farmers down a better path. I'd like to. I hope that over the next couple of years, we won't have 50% of the farmers telling us about the story of someone they know has been injured or killed, but actually starting to talk in a positive way about safety and having positive conversations at events. We're going to be talking about, as groups about the things we're all doing together to improve safety.
Yes, it's definitely a collaborative effort from everyone.
Including the farmers themselves. This is a journey that we're all going on together.
Oh, yes. And yeah. It's a constant evolution of, you know, a bit of common sense, bit of looking ahead, thinking ahead, but also having those strategies and roadmap in place, which is the excellent work of Making Our Farm Safer project. Can you fill us in on what the team is currently doing to improve safety outcomes for the industry? What else that you haven't discussed already?
So apart from the farm safety visits and the town hall meetings that we attend, and with the town hall meetings, we might talk about a few topical issues there, targeted issues like quad bikes or child safety on farms. And I'd love for the 25, 30 people that we might have at those events to all take our flyer and all have us on their farms, but I know that we can't practically do that as much as we'd love to. But what we are doing is looking at where there are needs, where there are knowledge gaps, where there are, we will obviously point to the relevant resources that exist on the WorkSafe website or the Department of Agriculture website in terms of safety literature, industry resources, for example, the Australian Wool Industry Sheep Shearing Guide is a really excellent resource for shearing sheds. But we can see clearly that there are gaps in the state of knowledge that exist for farmers. And our philosophy is where we see a need, we'll fill a need. So we're trying to create industry guidance at the same time as doing the power of work that we're doing. An example being a guide that we created on telehandler safety on farms during early 2021 in response to a fatality that occurred up near Nil. And when we looked after that incident, we could see that there was clearly a gap in the in terms of guidance or literature that actually helped farmers to manage those machines on their farms. The next piece of guidance we're creating is a guidance on chemical safety on farms. And the important one that we've just embarked on, which I'm thrilled we have the leadership of our VFF president and vice president in terms of two steering groups, is child safety on farms. 15% of people killed on farms across Australia are children under the age of 15 years. It's a staggering figure. And so in collaboration with WorkSafe and Department of Ag and TAC and KidSafe, we're going to be crafting some guidance aimed at parents and as farmers to, again, fill the void in terms of the knowledge and the gaps and state of awareness around what they need to do and know as parents and as farmers to try and provide better safety outcomes for their children. So it's a really important piece of work. Now, the most important thing will be next year will be actually the Making Our Farm Safer website, which will launch in the new year. And that we will, with the Department of Ag and the funding, the hope is it will become the central point, the trusted resource for the industry. We're not going to reinvent good resources where they already exist, but we will try and consolidate all of the useful material that's out there into a central hub. And that'll be the Making Our Farm Safer website, which will sit parallel to the VFF website. And also keep an eye out on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and the like for the Making Our Farm Safer newsletter each month. It comes out on the third Thursday of each month. And when you see it, share it with your neighbours, because it's a really important educative resource, but also helps farmers to keep up to date in terms of what's going on in the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely follow BFF's Making Our Farms Safer on social media, and it's, yeah, a fantastic way to keep up to date with everything and check out the amazing work that you're all doing behind the farm gate to keep our industry people safe. Well, thank you so much, John. Is there any further words of wisdom that you might like to add before we wrap up this episode?
No, only the invitation to farmers to please call us and we get the diary out and work out a mutual date and time to come and see them. And I wish everyone all the best for the festive season and be careful out there. And I look forward to seeing you on your farm soon.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please be sure to share it with others, post about it on your social media, or leave us a review and a rating. To catch all the latest from the Victorian Farmers Federation, head on over to vff.org.au for more info. Thanks again. See you next time.